So it is the Nailing It podcast, and what I love about this podcast is that I get to introduce you to some people that have really inspired me over the years. With someone now, he's just pulled a face as if to say, what? It is true, Paul Corcoran, chief executive from Agent.
Cheeky executive, that nearly came out as chief executive, yes, CEO.
Chief executive. So just tell us about you, first of all, and your career and who you are and what you do.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, my name is Paul Corcoran. I'm the CEO and founder of Agent. We're a full-service marketing agency based here in Liverpool, but also with a studio in Manchester. From Highton, Two Dogs Fighting, and that's where I kind of grew up and all my family are from. Studied here, went to John Moores, went back and did a master's in marketing. And then set my own business up here for my sins, really, with a whole load of naivety and a bit of good luck, and thought, you know what, shall we have a little go at setting a business up? And, you know, 18 years ago, pretty much to the day, we set up Agent, and yeah, here we are. You say, 2024.
You say good luck and naivety, though, but you literally nailing it. The company is doing so well. Obviously, a base in Liverpool, in Manchester. Yeah. You've got a massive team. Kind of what you do around your day-to-day work as well really impresses me all the time, which we'll delve into, because it's a lot more than just a day job for you, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I always refer to Agent as a deep purpose agency, and that's where, you know, you get a traditional agency model where your clients come to you to do work, but what we try and see everything through is that purpose lens. You know, how do we use our business for good? You know, how do we make good money? How do we create good careers? How do we have lovely lives? But how do we make sure that we're not leaving people behind? How do we make sure that we leave things a bit better, or in some cases a lot better than how we found them? And I feel a real sense of urgency and agency in doing that, to be honest.
And you do that. You've done that for many, many years.
Yeah.
From everything from campaigns, charity work that you do, what you instill into your team and what they take away from work. We're going to talk about all of that.
Yeah.
Why is that important to you, though? Why is that side? Why does that mean something to you?
I mean, I think that's just the Scouser in me. You know, we are a very generous gang. You know, even when we've got very little, we give as much as we possibly can. And I think that is demonstrated in so many, many things, stuff that we've been involved in, and so many other things. We're always on the fight and the hunt for justice, you know, and we know many, many, many high profile campaigns that have achieved that, or certainly on the route to that. I just believe it's in our DNA. You know, I believe that we all have, certainly, you know, many Scousers that I know, kindness. You know, privilege, you know, it's such an amazing thing to have, to have had, you know, to grow up with a roof over our heads and good education and you know, challenges along the way. But when you get your moment, you use that moment to give back. And think, for me, you know, in the last 18 years of running Agent, that's been the golden thread that's always run through that story. So, yeah.
It's funny, the way I think of it sometimes is, one, I think if you've got a business and you've got a successful business, if you've got a big following, you almost feel like it's your duty to do those little extra things as well, to do good business for other people.
Yeah.
But also that's the good side. That's the side that you know, there's the side where you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, I've got all these meetings, I've got all this paperwork to do, I've got, but then if you've got a real reason to get out of bed and do that extra thing that you can't wait to do, whether that's a campaign you're running or whatever, that's what makes it special.
Oh God, it's the fuzzy feeling in your stomach where you walk away and think, God, I've made such a difference there, or I've been involved in something that has taken me outside of my comfort zone, or I've ended up meeting someone that I wouldn't normally meet. And I like being uncomfortable. You know, I like feeling I've got something to do. And I think and very similar to you, you know, whenever we've done anything, you know, the first people to put the hand up has always been you and the guide. You know, oh, we'll support, we'll get behind, we'll donate, we'll send that message out there, we'll do a video for Tired. You know, there's been so many times, and there's real synergy, I think, in terms of, you know, good businesses using their business for good.
And that is a big thing in Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good people and good business within the community here in Liverpool.
Very much so.
Let's talk about one of them things, which is something that was really close to your heart, something close to my heart as well. Mutual friend of ours is Frances Molloy.
Yeah.
And she lost their son, Michael.
Yes.
And from that came the Tired campaign.
Yes.
Just tell anyone who doesn't know what that was all about.
I mean, that was the piece of work of my life, really. You know, I think that Frances had sadly lost Michael in a horrific, traffic accident because of the age of a tire on a coach. And Frances and her family and everyone else for that matter could not believe that it was legal to have aged tyres on coaches that had taken kids and young adults and everyone else to and from the places that they need to get to. And Frances, you know, through her grief and through her pain, dug really deep, and alongside the then MP Steve Rotherham, took it to, you know, to government and said, this needs to be changed. It can't be okay that any other parent or anyone else for that matter loses a loved one because of a really, really old tyre on a coach. And unfortunately, our government and the systems that regulate policy change are not in the favour of people like you and I. And so we got thrown out many, many times to our shock and to our absolute horror and to the continued pain of Frances more than anything else. And going back 8 years ago, 9 years ago, maybe, another thing that we did together was a concert for the Syrian refugees in the Echo Arena, and we ran the kind of marketing and PR efforts. I think we had about 2 weeks to sell thousands of tickets, and the idea was to raise much needed funds for the Red Cross. And the idea came about as, can we get Michael's song Rise and Fall to be played to open up that that concert to raise funds. And that's when Frances and I started talking about what she'd been through and the fight that she had she had on her hands. And I went back to work on the Monday and I said to my team, who wants to get involved? We're going to do this as a pro bono piece of work. You know, there was no resources. There was no, and we only had Frances's love and devotion as a mum to drive us on, which was more than you ever needed, really. And so we got to work, and Zoe, who is our partnership director, campaign managed it. The team created the logo, the name, the website, the marketing resources. We went up and down the country. We were every politician's nightmare, but we changed the law.
You did.
You know, we changed the law.
You used your skill and your team's skill and knowledge and obviously your compassion and Frances's, you know, what she was going through, her passion to get this changed. But that business kind of come together to do what it does every day, really, but focus that energy on something really important.
Yeah. It was so important that we did that. And it didn't matter whether it took 2 weeks. And it was 3.5, nearly 4 years of our involvement. That's beside what Frances had already put in before we started on the campaign. But it didn't matter whether it was going to take 40 years because I'd have still been there banging the drum and demanding change. Because, you know, we need to see change. And it's these moments, you know, when you see this injustice, when you see this unfairness, that people like you and I have to come out with all of our tools, regardless of whatever they are, and be part of making that happen. So, yeah, it was something that was deeply in my heart and something that will always stay with me and in Michael's wonderful, beautiful legacy. And the lovely part of it is that not only did we get to change the law, but we got to get Michael's music in front of thousands and thousands of people who hadn't heard it before. And beautiful music from a beautiful soul.
It really is. It's in Michael's memory, but the most incredible thing with that, Paul, is it's actually changing lives and yes. saving lives every single yeah. day. That's something your yeah. team, Francis, did. So
and alongside you as well.
We loved being involved in that. And I suppose that's what good business is, isn't it? Mm. If someone was to ask you, what is good business? What does it mean?
I mean, you know what? It means being a good employer. It means being a good partner. It means being a good supplier. It means just doing what you would expect. You know, giving opportunities, sharing, not being perfect. I mean, none of us are perfect. I'm certainly far from it. But intent is everything.
Yeah.
Are you going about things the right way? Are you partner up with people who share your values? It might not be perfect either, but they want to get better. You know, they want to do good by, you know, where they operate, or they want to become much more sustainable, and they're actively investing. I mean, I think that there's lots of wash, isn't there? You know, social impact washing and greenwashing and everything else for that matter. But you've got to do the work, you know? You've got to do the work. And it's all very well saying it and all very well doing it, but the work means effort, and it means energy, and it means commitment, and it means stress, and it means digging bloody well deep to make it happen. But, you know, actions always speak louder than words. And for me, that's good business.
It's funny you say that. We get told and asked all the time, you know, how do you go out partying so much? Why are you always in the pub with you and your
workmates? Because you bloody need it.
And the thing is, what I always say is, because we all do the work and we can. And that's what it's about at the end of the day. If you don't do the work, what's the point?
And also, you know what? I set this business up when I was in my early 20s. You know, I'm only 27 now. Only kidding. I wish. But
still looks,
you know, it. I don't bloody look it. But you know, you've got to enjoy it. You know, that was an amazing time. 20s and certainly 30s, where, you know, the city was changing. There was so much going on. There was a gang of us who would always be, you know. I saw Leanne Campbell the other day in the Tiffin Rooms, and we were gabbing. She was like, oh, my God, it was always us, wasn't it? We were the ones at the parties, you know.
Latest.
Oh, yeah. Always out latest, you know, and the naughtiest, but the funnest as well.
Yeah, the funnest. The but funnest. We still got up for work the next morning.
And maybe a little bit jaded sometimes, but you know, 9 times out of 10, we got up on time.
Few hairs out of place, but all good. How many employees has Agent got? How many employees
42.
Have you got?
42. We'll be hitting 48 by the end of the year, nearly 50.
Does that like weigh you down sometimes? I've got 10 and it weighs me down every day.
Yes. I feel a deep sense of responsibility, because it's not just doing what we're doing now. It's about how do those people get trained in the future? How do they develop in the future? What, you know, how do we, you know, give them good lives? You know, it's a two-way street, isn't it? Being an employer and being an employee, you know, it's got to work hand in hand. And I feel a deep sense of responsibility to do it right.
Yeah.
And, you know, to continue not just bringing work in and bringing proper work in that the team don't go, oh, God, that's strange. Why has he brought that in? But I feel a purpose of leading by example. That's the thing that you know, kind of can weigh heavy, because it's a lot at times, you know. It's a big old salary bill, and you want to do it the best way you can.
How are you a good boss? How can someone become a good
boss? I don't know whether
leader?
I am.
I think you are. Anyone who's maybe just launching a business and they've got a team and they want to grow that team, how do you be the best leader, the best boss you could possibly be?
I think I've got better over the years. I think I've been much, I've become much clearer in what I expect. I think it's about leading by example. You know, if the toilets are dirty, I'll clean the toilets.
Yeah.
You know, before I'd ask anyone else to do them. I'll be the first out with brush. I'll empty the bins. I don't make the tea because I'm really bad. But I'll buy everyone a coffee. You know, I'll do that instead. I love the work. You know, I love the work that we do. I love working with clients. I love meeting new people. I love finding out about people's businesses. I love, hearing about people's challenges, meeting new people, meeting people that I've never met before, industries I've never operated in. And hopefully that translates over. And I think that I've always seen or tried to see as much as I possibly can, and myself in their shoes, you know, that I am not perfect. I'm far from it, but I always think, what would I want if I was there? You know, and I think sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't. But yeah, I think passion, and I think commitment, and I think longevity.
Yeah.
You know.
You want to keep that team and those members of that team for as long as possible, yeah. I presume, as well.
And also, you know, sometimes, you know, I've worked with incredible, I mean, amazing people who've, you know, moved to the other side of the world, who've, you know, gone to work for global agencies and global brands. And they came to me, you know, with, you know, scratching their head going, I don't know what to do. And I feel a real sense of achievement. And, you know, they're still very close friends. In fact, one was staying with me at the weekend. He's moved to to Australia. But, you know, it's about being proud of people, isn't it? And sometimes it's time, you know, to wave people off.
Yeah.
You know, there's businesses evolve, you know, we evolve, you know, and there was probably a time where I thought, God, it's got to stay like this, you know, but then you realize that, of course, it can't stay like this because you bring a new client in. The world around you has changed considerably and changes by the second in terms of tech, but the political landscape in which we reside, the, you know, all of the other factors, the climate, the economy, everything. So to have the same team always just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So you've kind of got to embrace change and wave amazing talent off, but also welcome new talent in with open arms.
You say that you've still had a lot of your team still with you for many years. I'm thinking of Jeanette,
and Zoe, Sarah, and a number of them, Georgie, you know, they're just incredible team members, and it's been amazing to watch them develop and grow, because you are your team. I mean, you really, really, really are. I could be a really good marketer, but I can't do anything more than at scale if I haven't got a good team behind me and alongside me who can go, don't you worry about that, we'll do that. And also realize that, you know what, that they are better.
Yeah.
You know, they're better placed. They know more things. And then you have to step away and make yourself redundant, which I am in many, many aspects of my company now.
A few years ago, it was all over national press that you were one of the first companies ever to launch a four-day working week.
Yeah.
Did it work? Is it still running?
So that
tell us
initial
about that.
Piece was six, that when it was all over the news, that was when we launched the six-hour working day.
That's right.
And that was a Swedish initiative which said, rather than working 8.5-9 hours in a day, condense it down, look at efficiencies and work from that. We then had the one show turn up and was like, right, okay, we're going to do this as a trial. And we thought, oh, go on, we'll give it a go. And it was incredible. I love those opportunities because I love the moments where you stop and you think, oh God, you never ever get a chance to look at what the everyday is.
Mm.
And that was one of those for us. So we adapted it for ourselves. So we did 3 normal working days and then we did 2 6-hour working days. And that was amazing for us. But 2 years ago, we did a pilot for the 4-day working week. And for those who don't know what the 4-day working week is, it's where you basically cut off a day in the week, and you work 4 days as normal, same hours, same holidays, same salary, and same
days for everyone.
Yes.
Okay.
With flex, of course, you know, and we do Mondays and Fridays, and we brought it in as a pilot, and we said to the team, we're going to have a go at this. And I think then there was maybe like 30 odd of us. I thought it's going to be really interesting. Because you're changing psyche, you're changing behaviours, you're not all turning up to a meeting where there's eight of you around the table, but only four of people are talking. You know, we've all been in them. Mm. You look at everything. You look for proper ways of working, smarter, less but better. And so we did the pilot for 6 weeks. And then we thought, well, you know what? 6 weeks isn't really that long. Let's do it for another 6 weeks. And then we got to the end of the 12 weeks and we were like, we quite like this. You know, we were able to deliver. We were seeing better results. You know, people were going, oh my God, this is really interesting. I'm really enjoying, you know, I'm saving money on travel. I'm saving money on childcare. I actually feel refreshed.
A bit more chilled, yeah.
And so we've kept it ever since.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been revolutionary, shall we say.
So you've actually seen results for clients. You've brought in more, I presume, revenues.
Yeah, I mean, we grow year on year, not just in terms of team, but in terms of, you know, revenue and profits in order to sustain the business. You have to look at things differently. You know, it's a massive investment to give everyone an extra day off every week.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's what I want to do. And it's about having a really good work-life balance. And it doesn't mean that it happens every single week. It happens 9 times out of 10. But some weeks you just can't do it.
You're too busy, yeah.
But what it does mean is it means better communication. It means less silo-based working. We've changed all of our approaches. It means that we're all much more accountable. So it's, you know, we have a kind of fixing, not moaning kind of, you know, ethos, you know, no silo working. And actually what actually has happened is greater accountability. And bear in mind, we're working across, you know, two really busy studios. So we've got the team in Liverpool and the team in Manchester. And we're all over the place. You know, we have team members, you know, even today there's team members in London, there's team members in Gloucester, wherever the hell that is, you know, and Manchester, Liverpool and everywhere else. So it brings with it a sense of maturity and I kind of like the fact that it's very adult, you know?
Because I suppose everyone, it's their responsibility to make this work and to not take the mick. Do you know what I mean? They've got to come in and deliver for those 4 days. So you need a grown-up personality to be able to do that.
Yeah, you do. You do. And you also need to be... And what's interesting is the talent that we've brought in have come from global big agencies. You know, agencies that, you know, I look up to and recognise their work, but they're coming to agent because they go, I really want balance, you know? I want to earn a really good wage, I want to work really hard, but I also want to be able to enjoy my life. I don't want to get to you know, Friday night and be absolutely done in so that I'm just, you know, keeling over into Saturday and then Sunday I'm getting myself ready to go again. There's a different way, isn't there? And I like that. I do. I like that a lot.
And it's proof it's working. Because if it wasn't after this amount of time, then you'd be closed. You wouldn't be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've got to continually, you know, work on it. It's like anything else. You know, it doesn't come in and all of a sudden you go, because it is new. And certainly for some of my team members who've perhaps come through our academy, who are, you know, newer graduates or you know, newer talent into industry, often, you know, they kind of think, oh, this is just the way it is. Whereas, you know, team members who are a bit older and a little bit wiser and you know, been around the block at least once or twice, what's really good is they're coming in from those big, you know, agencies and going, listen, guys, this ain't the norm. This ain't the norm. So
you don't know how lucky you are. Like that.
Yeah,
attitude.
A little bit of that.
I love it. And I love the way it is. It is working. And it's just one of the many things that you do at Agent, which is why we wanted you on today. There's something you do every year that has grown and grown. Agent Reads.
Yeah.
Tell us about this.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, that's just something that I absolutely love. It started with, we have lots of lovely clients who have lots of lovely lives, and therefore they get lots of nice gifts at Christmas. And I thought, what I didn't want to do is send hampers and, you know, boxes of wine, and not boxes of wine, like cheap wine in boxes, but, you know, bottles of wine to clients because they just don't need it. But I'm an avid reader. I love my books. Like, they are my go-to. And so I thought, wouldn't it be lovely if we asked our clients what books they love or loved as children, or what their kids are currently reading? And we bought a load of those and then got them out to kids in the Northwest who might not get a book or even a present at Christmas. And we thought, you know, there's loads of brilliant social enterprises and charities and all the rest of it. We'll work with them and we'll take those books that we buy and we'll distribute them. So that was the initial idea. And we thought, you know, we'll buy a couple of hundred books. And then brilliant people. I mean, the kind of Liverpool, Manchester, Northwest, you know, solidarity, oh, we're all getting involved thing happened. And, you know, firms like you just got involved and said, you know what, well, we like the sound of this. We loved this book, or, you know, they're reading that. And so we ended up, we've been doing it now for 5 years. And this Christmas just gone, we raised over £30,000 worth of new books.
Wow.
That's, it was incredible.
Unbelievable.
You know, and they all have a handwritten note in them, and they all go, you know, Jay's bought this for you, and Jay bought this book because he, you know, whatever. And we love it, you know, and everyone's dead emotional. We all, you know, we all get kind of really excited about it. And, you know, we go out delivering, and we deliver them all, you know, with, you know, in boxes. And it's, yeah, it's great.
I want to talk about your office space, because it wows me every time I go in. I absolutely love it. And it's really, it's just, it's a giant kind of old warehouse, isn't
it? It's a hangar, isn't it?
It's a hangar, but you've just made it so cool and so inviting, and everyone gets welcomed personally when they come in. The dog is there.
Yeah.
Just tell us about that workspace and just, how important it is for your business.
I mean, you know what? We moved, the Liverpool studio is, and we moved to the Baltic in 2011 or 2012. So we've been there for 12 years. And when we first moved to the Baltic, our clients then were saying, well, we're not coming down there. You know, we're not parking our car in that Baltic, because it was a completely different, you know, setup. And there was the biennial, and Camp of Venice hadn't opened yet. And we just knew that there was something interesting about what you can do with a big blank canvas.
Yeah.
And there was only 7 of us in the team then, 8 of us at max, with a 3,500 square foot, you know, unit. But I could see the potential, you know, I could see the potential. I knew that there was, it was an interesting area. And one of the things that since day dot of agent is that no matter who was coming to our studios, whether it was a big studio or a small studio or anything else in between, you get a warm welcome. Because how many times have you walked into an office or a studio space and no one says hello? Mm. And it's so, you know, you might be going in for a job interview, or you might be going in to pitch something, or you might just be going in for a coffee. I want to have a gab, you know, I want to say hello. And I mean, when I walked in here, you know, you were like, oh, these are the team from this, and this is my team. And that, it makes such a difference that
you,
when you,
you
sit
taught us that though.
Yeah, but you, it's so interesting.
And everybody always mentions the welcome you get when you always go to agent.
It's always. Just really, and it's just a really, really, really simple thing, you know, that you get a hello and you get a goodbye. And it's great because, you know, for me, it's about all of my team need to know that every single person who walks through our door is a guest of ours. Someone comes to your house and you sat there on the couch and you don't turn around and, you know, they let themselves out. You know, you're not much of a host, are you? And I believe in, you know, warm welcomes all round. So when you come to mine, I mean, you're lucky if you leave sober to start. But that's another story for another day.
It is. That's a whole other podcast.
It really
is. We could go way back with that one.
Yeah.
What are the biggest challenges that you face personally as a chief exec, as a leader, as a business owner?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I think it's been 4 crazy years, hasn't it? You know, post-pandemic. And I think one of the biggest is around just your own sanity at times. Mm. You know, being able to switch off, being able to step away, and also be able to say, that's not for me anymore. I can't do that. There's somebody else whose responsibility is for that. And we're at the stage now where, you know, we have someone who's dedicated to people stuff. We have someone who's dedicated to finances. We have someone, you know, Jeanette's just been promoted to managing director. So slowly but surely, you're kind of getting squeezed out, but in a good way, because what it allows me to do is look at the strategic direction. Where are we going to go? What are the sectors we're going to operate in? What's the work that we want to do? What's the work that you don't want to do anymore, which is equally important. I think the bigger challenges are, how do you continue to be innovative? You know, how do you continue to be profitable? You know, in an interesting market. You know, Liverpool has been, I mean, Liverpool's always been our kind of agency birthplace, but, you know, we don't have as much of a thriving ecosystem from a business perspective in comparison to Manchester and perhaps Leeds and other cities. That's going to be good in terms of looking at that moving forward. I think, you know, continuing to bring talent in. And I don't just mean emerging talent, so we obviously do that through the academy. I mean about bringing talent into the city that is coming from elsewhere.
Yeah.
I find that really, really interesting. I'm really, and there's bits and bobs that I want to dig deep on. You know, how do we come together as a collective and do that? How you procure work, you know?
Always the biggest challenge.
Procurement. I mean, that's everyone's favorite nightmare, isn't it?
It is.
Work for free.
Hmm.
Let's see your concept. Let's see your ideas. I genuinely do think there will come a time when every agency in the country, whether you're in video production and motion and animation, or whether you're in strategy, brand, and everything else in between, will say, if you want our ideas, you pay for them first.
Yes.
Because the amount of hours and the amount of time I have spent, and my team has spent, you know, coming up with concepts and ideas and plans, you know, to say, unfortunately, you got 3 out of 5 on that one. And you think, oh, hold on a second.
And then you see your idea and 6 months later.
And then you see your idea
all over the place. Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing. And I think that definitely needs, you know, for anyone in procurement or anyone who is the owner of, you know, buying in our services, regardless, think about, would you do that for free? Would your builder come and build the house for free? You know, would your architect?
So true.
It just wouldn't happen. And so, you know what? It just dumbs. And then they ask for social impact. And you think, well, you've just taken the social impact out of it, because I've just spent the last 2 weeks coming up with logos and campaign plans for you that you haven't paid for.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's a big thing that I think we collectively need to come together to lobby to change.
What would you say to anyone now, whether it's a marketing company or whether it's a corner shop, or whether it's a car sales room, whatever it might be, who's setting up or thinking of setting up in any business, what would you say to them?
I would say, don't do it. Run. I'm joking. I would say, sweat the small stuff. You know, the detail is important. You know, being able, when you're starting off, is to know it, you know, really know it and know what your standards are and know what you want to put out there and staying as close to that. But know when to step away, you know, when you're in there and you are working through it. That's what makes the business. You are the business, you know, when you're getting going. But know that you, over time, and don't be sad when you're not doing the thing that you started off loving. You know, because, you know, now, you know, I spend time looking at P&L, you know, sheets, and, you know, and thinking, looking at, you know,
do you get jealous of some of your team?
Yeah. Really jealous. Same. Yeah.
You can't help it, can you? You're like, oh, I want
God,
to just be doing
no.
that.
I mean, you know, I love the work. I love coming. I love those light bulb moments where a client is so confused about the direction they're going to go in. And it could be, you know, a global DNO, or it could be, you know, a major manufacturer, or it could be a small business nearby.
Excuse me.
It could be any of those businesses, but I love finding out the answers with them. I love that part of it. And then watching their confidence bloom. You know, when things start going in place and you see them, you see the change, you know, when they're going up and presenting, and I miss that bit. So, yeah, I do get a bit of kind of, you know, green with envy.
Bit of FOMO.
Definitely FOMO. Definitely.
Can anyone do it, Paul, in your opinion? Can anyone be a success within business?
Yeah, as long as you are committed. You know, you've got to be committed. You know, you will get knocks. You will have people who will say, oh, no, that's not for you. You can't do that. Or, you know, we want to buy from that firm because they've been going longer and they look bigger and they look, you know, swankier. And, you know, there'll be lots of smoke and mirrors and all those things. But if you are resolute, if you are, you know, committed to being the best that you can possibly be, and you turn up, And you continually invest in yourself and in what you do, then yeah, I do believe that you can, you know. And we're all, every day is a school day, isn't it?
Of course, you know, we're still learning every day. Yeah.
Oh God, I wouldn't have thought I would be doing the things that I'm doing now. You know, I didn't have a clue about any of these things.
It's so true though, as well. Even in 2, 3, 5, 10 years. We'll be having a completely different conversation, completely. And we'll be probably shocked to our core at what we're doing on that given day.
Definitely.
It's so kind of, everything changes so quickly. And
yeah. And I also think that, you know, when you look at cities, you know, certainly northern cities, we have got, you know, such an incredible way about us, you know, and we talk about the generosity and the kindness, but also we are entrepreneurial. We are ambitious, and I would love to see, you know, over the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, you know, hopefully with, you know, some political change and therefore some, you know, some modern day forward thinking, you know, enterprise and policies behind us. I'd love to see, you know, us going from, you know, a capital of culture city to a capital of enterprise where, you know, every kid's coming out of, you know, school or college or university and thinking, I'm going to set up my own business and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it in life sciences, or I'm going to be in this or I'm going to be in that. And we're not thinking, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go and do that. But they're coming at it from a really entrepreneurial, ambitious perspective. I think that is what we should be working towards.
Well, I think as long as, and I'm not just blowing smoke here, as long as people like you are in business, buying into hangars in the middle of nowhere with nothing else around you and creating that incredible team, I think that's what will happen. Just finally, Paul, just give us your message to your team, to your clients. What would you like to leave us with?
Do you know what? I mean, I think it is about, you know, we are powerful together, you know, that you can do and you must do great work, but the great work has got to work, you know, and I'm a big believer in building your gang. You know, build your gang, create your networks, look after each other, be kind in business, and then business can be kind to you.
Paul Corcoran from Agent, thank you so much. We'll see you in 5 years.
Cheers, Jake.
Can't wait for that one.